The following message is brought to you by Cashin First Baptist Church and Pastor Greg Davis in Cashin, Oklahoma. For more information about Cashin FBC, please visit cashinfbc.org.
Josh, would you pull up that slide to start with? Just in the new year, we start to think about changes and things of that nature. And this is a good little guidebook if you've never done family worship, if you've never... So many people are intimidated by this process of sitting down with your family and opening up the Bible. And we do this as often as we can. This is just a little guidebook, and it's really short. It takes you 25, 30 minutes to read it. It's by Donald Whitney. It'll talk about opening up a passage and the questions that you might ask and things of that nature. He does a little bit of maybe singing a hymn or something like that. We open up our Bible at night, and we're reading through the Gospel of Mark right now. We'll ask the kids some questions, 5 or 10 minutes, and then we close in prayer and go to bed. I wanted you to write that down if you're someone who says, in the new year, I'd like to start something with a family, but I don't know how to do it. Write that book down and check that out, okay? And if you need the book again or the name of the book, we can tell you that. We can order it for you, whatever you want us to do. At the beginning of each new year, I normally set aside, been doing this, I look back for close to 17 years, because we'll be 17 years coming pretty quick. Normally, at the beginning of the year, I set aside about 2 or 3 weeks that we talk about kind of New Year's goals. And when we talk about those, I'm not talking about things like saving money, which there's nothing wrong with that, or getting your house organized or anything like that, but I'm talking about spiritual change, spiritual goals. And so normally I set those aside, and I want to tell you this so that you know where we're going for the next several weeks. We're going to be looking at those, what we might even call spiritual disciplines, okay? And then after that, what we're going to do is finish out that series on the church. And there's 2 messages left in that. And then after that, coming in February, and if you say, I don't have a Bible reading plan this year, I can give you something to do. Start reading through the Gospel of Mark. Because we're going to tackle the Gospel of Mark starting in February. And people always ask, how long are we going to be in it? I don't know. Just however long. I'm not organized, by the way. I'm not one of those people that's like, we're going to have 62 messages and I know exactly. I have no clue. Just whenever it finishes, we'll wrap up and go to the next book, okay? So if you want to know where we're headed, that's where we're headed for the next several weeks. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to open our Bibles here after we pray. Father God, we praise you that your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, we know there's nothing magical about a new year. There's nothing magical about the calendar that says January 1st on it. But God, we can just bathe ourselves in the fact that you give us new mercies and that we can start over and we can do things differently in the new year because your grace allows us to do that. We get second chances. We get new starts. And so, Lord, we're forever grateful for that mercy. God, I pray that we would be given the strength of your grace to do this and accomplish this, that we could live for you in 2021, that we would put literally 2020 behind us, and that we could look forward to your kingdom and your coming. God, we thank you and praise you for this, and we pray it in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Why am I coming to you in the new year discussing spiritual disciplines? Said I'd been doing it for the last 17 years, something similar to this. Why am I doing that? Well, I want to say what I normally do is to just say, here's the spiritual disciplines that you ought to do, jump right in, and it's kind of like the Nike slogan, just do it, okay? I'm going to shift my focus a little bit in this first message, okay? Because I want to talk to you about goals and setting goals before we enter into those things. And there's going to be 2 specific goals that I'm going to talk about because I think too often I say just do it and then you don't know why you're doing it, okay? I hope that's clear this morning as we talk about entering into disciplines and why we're doing those things. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you 2 specific goals that we're looking to reach in 2021 with these spiritual disciplines. The first of those goals is God, okay? So turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Just keep your Bible open there for just a moment. You may be scratching your head this morning saying, the goal of God. The goal of God. What do you mean by that? I'm going to explain it here and be very practical with you as we read this passage. Let's look at 5 through 8 of Mark chapter 7. It says, the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? And he said to them, now we were talking about this morning in our Sunday school class, it's always important to observe the context. This passage is written as Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And what you might call the scribes and the Pharisees in Jesus' day is they were the religious elite. They're people that are writing down the law. They're people that are studying the law. They're people that you would say know their Bibles well. I put it this way. They're like the spiritual or religious Green Berets of Jesus' day, right? They're the serious people, the holy people, the righteous people in the eyes of the people. It's directed toward them what Jesus is about to say. And I want you to see what Jesus says to this group of religious elites. He says, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written. Now, a hypocrite is a derogatory term if you don't know that, okay? A hypocrite's someone who says one thing and does another. And Jesus is basically saying, you're the kind of people that wear a mask when you come out into public. You're a hypocrite. And he goes on to say to them, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Now, let me tell you the thrust of what's going on here before we look at Mark chapter 6. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders of his days, the Pharisees and the scribes, and he's saying they have one fundamental problem. They're serious about doctrine and they're serious about teaching, but it's the wrong doctrine and it's the wrong teaching. Because do you notice what it is there in the text? And I'd encourage you to underline this in your own Bible. He says in verse 7, in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. That's the problem that Jesus had with the Pharisees. They teach as biblical doctrine their own teachings. Right? They say, we have our teaching, and we have the teaching of the Bible, and ours is up there just as important as the Bible. Now look at what else he goes on to say in verse 8. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the traditions of men. That's the issue with the Pharisees. That's the problem with the Pharisees. But I want you to notice this indictment toward them that Jesus tells us in verse 6, this serious indictment. He says, this people honors me with their lips. They're religious, they're saying things about God, they're engaged in religious activities, but I want you to notice and listen carefully what their religion does not include. Are you ready to be frightened and terrified? Their religion does not include all of this religious talk, all of this study of the Scriptures, does not include God. Did you see it there in verse 7 or verse 6? These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. He's quoting Isaiah the prophet there, by the way. Did you know there's a form of religion, it's very dangerous, that can talk God talk to people around them and look very religious and not include God? J.C. Ryle is one of the commentators that I'm going to read as I read through the Gospel of Mark, and I want to read to you what he said about this passage. He said, let us remember this in the public congregation. It must not content us to take our bodies to church if we leave our hearts at home. The eye of man may detect no flaw in our service. Our minister may look at us with delight. Our neighbors may think of us as a pattern of what a Christian ought to be. Our voice may be heard foremost in the praise and prayer, but it's all worse than nothing in God's sight if our hearts are far away. It's only wood, hay, and stubble before Him who discerns thoughts and reads the secrets of the inward man. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I pulled up to the church the other day anticipating and knowing I was going to preach this. And I'm just going to tell you what happened. My heart just sank. Because I thought, I don't want to be the guy that talks about God to everybody but doesn't really know God. I don't want to be the guy who's taught everybody the scriptures and I myself don't know the Lord. I mean, my heart sunk and I just thought, Lord, it's a moment of repentance. It's a moment of repentance for all of us right now to just say, God, let me recalibrate a little bit and make you the goal of the disciplines. Let me look and just kind of rethink why I'm doing what I'm doing. The goal, brothers and sisters, is first and foremost, is God. Because otherwise, we're just like the Pharisees. I'm reading a book right now called Atomic Habits. Some of you may have read the book, I don't know. And here's the gist of Atomic Habits. They're little daily habits that result in big change. And so the way that the author thinks about change is kind of different than we do. We say, I want to plow through a book. So I pick up a big, thick book, and I muscle through it, and I just plow through this book, and I say, I've read this book. And he says, you make the goal to read the book. But he says, the actual goal for an atomic habit would be this, to become a reader. So I pick up the book every day, and I read for 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes, and I make the goal a different goal. I want to become a reader. Or how many of you have a room that's in your house and it's just got junk all over the house and you say, I'm going to get the willpower and I'm going to clean up that room, and you do it, and then 6 months later it's right back where it was. And he says, you've got the wrong goal. You've got to become an organized person. And so you have these little daily habits in place that you do, that you become a reader or you become an organized person. How many of you have ever said at the beginning of the year, I'm going to pick up one of those reading plans, and this year I'm going to do it. I'm going to read the Bible. And I've checked off all my little boxes, and you had the wrong goal. The goal is, in reading your Bible, to know the Lord. That's our goal. And I just want you to rethink that. I want to know God. I want to grow in my relationship with Him. That has to be our motivation. That has to be our goal, or we end up giving lip service to the Lord. I want you to see this in Philippians chapter 3. Would you turn over there in your Bible to Philippians chapter 3? We're going to turn a couple of places today. Josh, I didn't do this. I'm going to ask you a question back there. This is going to be an awkward exchange for just a moment. Can you see if you can get verse 10 in the NIV pulled up? Yeah. We're paying Josh a lot of money, and I can do this right in the middle of a sermon. I just say, Josh, paycheck depends on it. So 310 in the NIV, and I want you to see this, and there's a reason I want you to see it. If he gets it pulled up, I'll explain it. In 3:1 through 9, Paul is talking about knowing Christ, what we would call salvifically, or in a saving way. He knows Christ in this way. But there's something that Paul is not satisfied with, and we see it in verse 10. And the reason that I wanted to pull up the NIV is it starts a whole new sentence, and I think it picks up the essence of what Paul's trying to say. I know Christ, I'm saved by Christ, but now I want to know Him in a different and a deeper way. Notice it says, I want to know Christ. I know Christ, I've been saved by Christ, but now I want to know Christ. This is talking about the fellowship, the intimacy, the relationship. That's what he's discussing here. There's a shift that takes place because he talks about, in Philippians chapter 3, three ways in which he wants to know Christ. And that's one of the ways, personally. Brothers and sisters, look at me for just a second. That is the goal of Christianity. Not to just be saved, but to be in fellowship with the Lord. And we've completely missed it if we preach salvation apart from the saving work of Christ bringing us into a relationship with Christ. So I'm going to prove this to you with one other reference. 1 Peter chapter 1, or 1 Peter chapter 3. and it's going to be verse 18. Be right up here on the screen if you don't have your Bible. If you do have your Bible, mark this verse down. Christ also died for our sins once for all. He died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust. This is talking about Christ being righteous and us being unrighteous. He switched those places. Christ, in our eyes, puts his sins on himself and gives us and clothes us with his righteousness. We're not the just ones in this text. We're the unjust. So he dies in our place for what goal? So that our sins can be forgiven, so we can go to heaven when we die, so that we have right standing with God. All those are good and right and correct. But would you notice what he says the actual purpose in the death of Christ on our behalf is? Did you see it there? So that he may bring us to God. That's the goal of our salvation. That you're back in a relationship that has previously been severed because of sin. So I want to tell you this morning, if you're sitting here and you're within the sound of my voice, whether it be online or right here, this goal of knowing God and understanding who God is cannot be reached apart from the gospel. I told you, I hear this all the time in the world, and it's just the biggest lie in the world. I know God. I know God. Everybody says that, right? Everybody says that. It cannot happen apart from the death of Christ. That is the only way to be reconciled to God. So our first goal in 2021 is what? First goal is God. Our second goal is godliness. We want God first and foremost, but what follows and what is biblical in this, that follows biblically, is godliness. We want to put disciplines into our life like the Word and prayer and church to grow us in godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 7. It says, have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for what purpose? Why do we strive and strain and read the Bible and exercise this discipline of coming to church and gathering with our families and worshiping and making sure that we're praying? Why do we do all those things? So that we can say, God, look at what I've done for you. I've got my check boxes. I've got my highlighter. I love to do that, by the way. I love to highlight when I've read. But that can become the goal. And that's the wrong goal. The goal is godliness. Because look at what he goes on to say. He says, you're going to, verse 7, have nothing to do with these fables. On the other hand, discipline yourself. Exert your energies for the purpose of godliness. That's the goal. And he goes on to explain why we need discipline in our life. Verse 8. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. Guys, you talk about life verses. That's my life verse right there, okay? No profit in it. Braxton, you're wasting your time working out, okay? Well, okay, it says little profit. Says little prophet. I'm glad to be back with y'all. You just harassed me from the pulpit. It's of little profit, but godliness is profitable for what? All things. And this is what's so important about godliness. It says it holds a promise for the present life as well as preparing us for the life to come. This is no comparison at all. But I see this in our own life. Gretchen and I sat down and watched a documentary this week about a young boxer who ended up dying of AIDS. And many of you may know his name, Tommy Morrison. And the guy told, in the middle of the documentary, you know what he said? Tommy Morrison could have been worth $200 or $300 million, and he put his hands out like this, if he would have disciplined himself for this long. And he said, Tommy, you can have $200 or $300 million if you'll discipline yourself for this long. And he said, we couldn't get him to do it. No discipline. We have to have discipline in our lives. Now, I want to talk to you about this for just a minute. Paul says we need to exert energy, but it is by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. We can't do this in our own strength, in our own power. This isn't mustering up the strength. It's saying, God, I need your help to exert this energy. I want to read to you a text by Paul. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. And then listen to what he goes on to conclude. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Brothers and sisters, never forget that when we labor, it always has to be by the grace of God. So the goal is not a checkbox. The goal is what? God first and godliness second. That Atomic Habits book, I promise you, if they were Christians, they'd say, you reorient your goal. God and godliness. That's what we're shooting for. So here's what's going to come in the next couple of weeks. I'm just going to give you a couple of these, okay? First and foremost, we need to strive in the new year, and then we'll flesh these out in the next couple of weeks and then finish out that sermon series on the church. First and foremost, we need to discipline ourselves to be in the church. That's a discipline. Coming to church takes effort. It takes work. Right? The easy thing to do is to say, we've got all these things we need to do, and it's just easy to miss church. That's a discipline we need to put into our life. And you say, how does that reach this goal of God and godliness by doing that? Do you know what we do at First Baptist Church week in and week out? By the way, I've been gone for like 6 weeks, and I'm just week in and week out. I'm going to get there because I'm going to get back in the pulpit for a while. listen to me about the goal of this. Week in and week out, we open up the Holy Word of God and we read from it and we preach it and we listen to it, all those things. And you say, what's the goal of all that? It's God. That's what happens when you're in the church, is you're hearing the Word of God. And then something mysterious happens when we gather with the people of God, is there is a sanctifying effect, which is, by the way, a theological term for what we just talked about, godliness. You take godliness and you take the word sanctification, they're the same term, right? They're the same idea. And there's this sanctifying effect that takes place in the church, and it's a mysterious work, and you may not even know it's happening. But just by gathering with the people of God and being in the house of God together and listening to the Word of God together, you're growing in Christ. And it's not anything you're doing. It's just this mysterious work of God's grace. Now, I want to give you an illustration of this. And I asked for their permission. I've told this story before, but I asked for their permission this morning to tell this story. Jake and Christy are our neighbors. And I talk about them a lot. I harass them a lot. But truly, they're two of our favorite people. We love him, okay? And when I met Jake, I saw in Jake myself. And I said, I'm going to lead this guy to Christ. I want to invest in this guy. And so we started meeting and studying the Word of God together. And by the grace of God, I got to lead Jake to Christ. And so then Jake and I started, we were both living in rent houses kind of across from the town of Cashin, which is what, about two blocks from each other. And neither one of us had room to meet. And so we said, we want to start meeting and studying the scriptures together, memorizing scripture together. So I had a little, what are those things called? Storage unit. Yeah. There was a storage unit in the middle of town. And I told Jake and this other guy, I said, start meeting me at the storage unit. And we would pull the storage unit up, we'd pull our lawn chairs out, and we'd study the Bible together, memorize scripture together. And so here's where the church comes in. Jake was telling me, I'd never talked to him about praying. I'd never talked to him about learning how to pray or anything like this. And he told me he had learned how to pray. And I said, well, how did you learn how to pray? And he said, well, I've been listening to Wayne Corvell pray at church. And he said, that's how I learned to pray. Do you understand the sanctifying effect that I didn't have anything to do with that? That wasn't my investment in him, was to teach him how to pray. But coming and being part of the body of Christ and listening to another man of God pray, Jake says, now I know how to pray. That happens Sunday in and Sunday out. I promise you, some of your kids that are here today have been more sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit through other people because they were part of this church. And they say, man, I saw them. They were growing in their faith, and I wanted to be part of that. And there's that mysterious work of God's grace in our sanctification. Discipline yourself in 2021 to be plugged in to church. Nothing compares to this. And I'm going to tell you what my wife said. Her dad's a pastor, by the way. Pastors' kids, you don't miss church. You have a fever, too bad, come. You're going to spread it to everybody else, okay? That's how Gretchen grew up. And she said, she's been very, very sick. And she said, this is the most church I've ever missed in my entire life. And she could feel the effects of it. This is the place we wanted to be worse than anywhere else. That's the sanctifying work of the Spirit through the church. It's a mysterious work. Now, there's a second thing that we need to do, is we need to discipline ourselves in the Word of God. Discipline ourselves in the Word of God. There is exciting news with this. The ladies have launched these groups, and they're reading through the scriptures, and they've got these little discipleship things going on. I'm stoked. I'm stoked because they're reading through the Word of God together. If you have not jumped into that, you can jump in now and just start wherever. Turn with me to John chapter 17. Jesus is praying for his disciples here. And sometimes Jesus shifts and he talks about his disciples and then he talks about future disciples. But he's there in John 17, no doubt, praying for his disciples. And one of the parts of the prayer in this verse or this prayer is in verse 17. Here's his prayer to God. Sanctify them. What does that mean? We said there's a parallel word. Make them godly, sanctify them. It can only happen in one way, in the truth. You cannot be sanctified in falsehood. You cannot be made godly by listening to falsehood. It cannot happen. You got falsehood, you're ungodly. You get truth, you're godly. Sanctify them in the truth. Pastor Greg, you got to tell me. I'm dying to know. What's the truth? Where do we find it? He tells us. That's the good news. Your word is truth. There's no substitute. You can read all the philosophy books you want. You can read all the Christian authors you want. There is no substitute for the Word of God in the process of sanctification. That's the means God ordained to get you there. As a matter of fact, Peter says it this way. He says, everything you need for life and godliness is right here. For life and godliness. I need to know how to live a Christian life. You can find it here. How do I grow in godliness? By reading the Word of God. This is the sanctifying tool in the hands of an almighty God, is the Word of God. Lastly is prayer. Would you turn with me one last place? Matthew chapter 6. Sometimes I get kooky and zany in the pulpit and I go outside of my notes. I'm giving you a bonus here, okay? No extra charge. Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse 5. when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Do you remember what I said about the Pharisees? They had a form of religion that did not include God. But I'll tell you what it did include: a desire and an insatiable desire to be seen by men. We can pray in that same exact way. People always say, can you give me an example of this? And I say this all the time, and we're guilty of it just like anybody else. You go to lunch with Christian people, you hadn't prayed with your family all week, and then all of a sudden, let's all gather hands, okay? Let's pray together. Who are we really praying to at that point? I mean, let's be honest. We want to make sure they know we're praying. They want to make sure it's something to be seen by men. We have to be very careful of what our goals and motives are when we talk about Christian disciplines. Jesus says they just do these things so that people can see them. Look at what he goes on to say. When you pray, verse 6, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father. This is the goal and the motive. We're praying to God. And I know this is like, you're sitting here saying, Greg, I can read this. I'm not ignorant. I'm not illiterate. I know exactly what it's saying. Do we not all need to be reminded of this? On a regular basis, the goal is God. He goes on to say, close your door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Goal in 2021. I'm going to ask you to step up and do some things, just like I did last year. But I want to tell you to approach it differently. Make your goal God and godliness. Would you stand with me?